Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, it's Friday. Let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. It is Fan Friday. We'll be taking your phone calls later in the hour. If you've got something you'd like to ask us, you can call 601-264-8910. But first, we're going to talk to Jerry DeFatta, head of the USM Alumni Association, momentarily. Patrick McGee's on the phone with us now from NOLA.com. And opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit as we broadcast from the Southern Bancorp studio right here in Hattiesburg, Bob, Kelly, and Dima. Pat's been out a couple of weeks, but we're glad to have him back on the Eagle Hour. And Patrick, glad you're doing good. And can I ask you this real quickly? Football season hasn't even started, and I am sick of the Kelce family. Can you assure me that the Kansas City Chiefs are not going to win another Super Bowl?
I can do no such thing.
You think they are, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a team I'm betting on, it's them. I mean, they're just loaded across the board, and they have the best quarterback in the league. So, it seems pretty inevitable.
All right, let's talk about the Whodats. We hadn't talked to you in a couple of weeks. Anything big breaking at Saints camp that you want to talk about?
Yeah, well, there have been some personnel moves this week, but mainly it's just because the injuries have kind of piled up at receiver. Chris Olave, I think, got banged up briefly in practice the other day, but just maybe not prominent dudes just sitting out practice. But the Saints brought back Marquez Callaway, a former receiver for the Saints. They cut a tight end in camp, and they're bringing Callaway back. And also, they signed today another receiver. They let go everybody's favorite new backup quarterback, Nathan Peterman, to sign Puka Nacua's older brother, Samson, who apparently was in the UFL previously. So right now, they're just trying to kind of keep that depth charts kind of filled up, make sure they have enough guys on the field to kind of get through camp. Well, so they've been banged up a little bit. Nothing insane. But they've made some moves here this week just to kind of make sure they have the right number of receivers and stuff.
What is the new quarterback's name?
Peterman was the guy they let go. I'm sorry, I might have misspoke. But Puka Nacua's brother, Samson, he's a wide receiver.
So
they let go Peterman, who's regarded as one of the statistically one of the worst quarterbacks in NFL history when he's had his opportunity. it was kind of weird they brought him in when they did. And I think he was running four string. So, I mean, that kind of shows his odds of making the team weren't very good to start with. They're just making some moves at receiver here this week to get enough guys out there to catch passes.
That guy's got worse stats than the former football coach here that went 0-12.
Oh, yeah, whose name we don't mention.
Right.
But, Dima, that makes Spencer Rattler look a little better, doesn't it?
Don't be talking about that.
I think Peterman threw like four or five interceptions in one half one time or something like that.
Rattler would have thrown eight.
And now he's still there.
I know.
But, you know.
But he's a National Football League player, so I can criticize him all I want.
And these part of the problem with the game of football as a whole now, as we talk about guys getting bigger, stronger, faster, I mean, a lot of these teams aren't even going to get to week number one without having some of their key personnel hurt, and they're talking about expanding the schedule. It doesn't make any sense to me, Patrick.
No, I really dislike I didn't like the 17th game. You know, they got to have the preseason is, you know, I think they should have two games at most. Right now they're at three. But, you know, the league, you know, they make so much money off those games, and it's not like the NBA or the or MLB, where they have so many home games, they can really sell tickets and make money. They're just trying to get every dollar they can. And the NFL is such a violent league. I just, you know, is it really worth it? I don't think so. The Goodell has been very pro-expansion in terms of the schedule. I'm not a fan of it.
I feel like it'd make more sense to expand the playoffs before a regular season schedule, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. What do you think, Patrick? More playoff games?
I know they've expanded in the last decade or so, but no, I mean, if they're going to do something, yeah, playoffs makes more sense.
Yeah,
I think the players would probably be more in favor of that, obviously.
Right.
Than the teams, you know.
Yeah.
Than the league, I could see that happening.
Because then you would play versus a meaningless 18th game versus maybe because you have an 18th game with a team who's 4-16 or whatever. I'm not doing math correctly.
And I think everybody was in favor of decreasing the preseason schedule, but then that puts more emphasis on practices, you know, to get ready. I mean, one of the things that my Bengals have been criticized about is their slow starts. They've started 0-3 the past 2 years, and it's because essentially Joe Burrow was either not healthy enough to practice or just didn't practice, trying to save him, you know, from being injured. But if they haven't knocked the rust off completely and you're playing games that matter, that's not good either. So it's a tough situation to be in.
Yeah, Patrick, the Bengals don't play too many games that matter, right?
Not through the years, no. How many Super Bowls? Oh, that's right. Patrick, did I read that they've changed the onside kickoff rule to where you can't kick an onside kick if you're ahead, and if you do kick an onside kick, you have to notify the opposite team?
You know what? That is, I find kickoffs the most uninteresting aspect of this, you know, of all this. But I know they're trying to make it more relevant through rule changes. But honestly, I haven't done my homework on all that. I know last night they kind of debuted it. It was so weird they were playing football last night in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It always catches you off guard. You turn on ESPN and like, wait, they're playing football.
Right.
It's August 1.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. And then I saw, oh my gosh, the first game is in a rain delay. The wussification of the NFL continues.
It's the NFL. I was just going to say that. You know, since when have we gotten into, and a lot of the, you know, now it's not this way at the Hall of Fame game because it's an open stadium, but a lot of these stadiums now are domed or can close their roofs, you know, but you're right, Bob.
Like Patrick said, the most violent sport on the planet. But you can't play it in the rain. That just doesn't.
And that was one of the things that, as a broadcaster, and you know this from running radio stations, Bob, you have a game set for whatever day at whatever time. Proverbially, come hell or high water,
you got to do it.
That game was going to be played, right? If it was, I mean, I remember the Bengals AFC Championship game one year. It was like minus against the Chargers. It was like minus 32 degrees.
Who won?
And that we did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was our first Super Bowl loss to the 49ers.
Okay. I got you.
But, I mean, you know, if we're going to be canceling games because of lightning and all that sort of stuff, and you've got them out there playing minus 32 degrees.
Yeah. What was the Chiefs and Dolphins game last year, wasn't it?
It was,
same?
Like, really cold, yeah. They had the ice bowl back in
right.
the 60s, yeah.
That's right.
So, Patrick, when do the Saints take the field for the first time?
It will be next weekend. Let me pull it up real quick. I'm typing
crazy
with one hand because I just had shoulder surgery. But it'll be August 10th. They go to Arizona. So that'll be the opener. They're practicing out in California, in Irvine. So the first two preseason games for the Saints are on the West Coast. You have the Cardinals on the 10th on a Saturday. Then on the 18th on a Sunday, they go and play the 49ers and close things out against the Titans in New Orleans with the final preseason.
And, of course, the first game being in Phoenix. Phoenix is lovely in August.
Yeah. But now they have
They do have a nice dome. They do have a nice
You
dome.
Can close. Their
yeah, you're right, but still.
Home opener for the Saints is against who, Patrick?
Are we talking regular season?
Yeah, regular season.
They open the season at home against the Panthers.
Oh, well, that's a good way to start.
And anybody to play the Panthers, that's the team you want.
Give us the first month of the Saints schedule, and let's see how
brutal
we think they would do.
It's the Panthers is, well, heck, I just had it right here and it went, but yeah, the Panthers, the first, here we go, Panthers in New Orleans, the open, then they go to the Cowboys, the 15th, then the 22nd, the Eagles come to the Dome, And then September 29th, the end of the month of September, the Saints go to the Falcons. So it's not an easy first month.
No.
To have to go to Dallas and then host the Eagles.
And then they
and
go
then
to the
you
Chiefs.
You face your rival on the road.
They go to the Chiefs the next week after that, right? After the Falcons?
Yeah,
so you
right.
play
yeah,
the
first
Eagles,
five games is a
Eagles,
tough
Cowboys, tough. And Chiefs in the first five games.
Wow.
All on the
all
road.
Right. That's not pretty, yeah. Patrick.
But well, the only one that you can, you really have to win that season opener against the Panthers, because if you yeah. lose that game, you got to go to Dallas. You play the Eagles. You play your big rival on the road with a new quarterback, and then you go to the Chiefs. You're looking at, I mean, you could be 0-5 if you lose that first game.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think you know there's a good chance the Saints pick up a couple of wins in that stretch, but the rest of the schedule is, you know, pretty moderate, not over the top. But the first five games are difficult.
If you could come out of the first five, 2-3, you'd probably be okay.
Yeah, that's probably just the right way to look at it.
And I don't think the Cowboys are really going to scare a lot of people this year. They'll be a middle-of-the-road team.
How about them Cowboys? What's wrong with you?
Well, they're in the AFC.
America's team.
They're in the AFC least, and they haven't – East, I mean.
NFC least. All right, Patrick, glad you're doing better, man. Look forward to having you back on the show every Friday.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, NOLA.com, friend of ours.
I think I said AFC East, then the NFC East, of course.
There was a time it was the most feared conference in the league.
It was the NFC Beast.
No question. All right, when we come back, Jerry DeFatta, head of the Alumni Association.
Talking about FanFest coming up in a couple of weekends.
All right, here we go, everybody.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Thank our good buddy Patrick McGee from NOLA.com catching us up on NFL news in that first segment. Second segment sponsored every day by Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. You know how we feel about Miss Kathleen. We think she's just one of the finest people in town. And you'll never find a finer selection of Southern Miss apparel. They're open Monday through Saturday. If you live elsewhere, listen on the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast or other parts of the country. All you got to do is just reach out to them, send them an email. You can call them. You can talk to Miss Kathleen directly. She'll mail it right to your house, or you can go to their website at campusbookmart.net. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, while we're speaking of it, on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And June and July were the highest numbers we have ever had. And we're really grateful for that. Almost, I'm not supposed to say, but let me just say a lot of people each month.
I guess in June and July, people don't even go out of their house to listen to radio.
No, correct. We were bumping 25,000 in 70 days. So that's pretty good.
This show might make it, Bob.
It could. 10 years, I think they'd have run us off by now, and especially you.
I was going to say, I'm working, doing my best.
In fact, this is a miracle. In a lot of ways, this is really a miracle. All right, Jerry DeFatta is the executive director of the Southern Miss Alumni Association, and the Alumni Association is putting on Fan Fest, and that'll be August 17th. So we asked Mr. DeFatta to come on the Eagle Hour and give us all the details. Welcome, Jerry, and tell us what's in store.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing today?
We're always happy here, Jerry.
Well, we're excited about FanFest. As you guys probably know, the Alumni Association and Athletic Department work together a large part of the year, but the summer is probably our busiest time together. As we try to take the Southern Miss gospel to all of the groups and all the areas in the Southeast that have big contingents of Southern Miss alumni. So we've been everywhere from Jackson to the coast to Mobile to New Orleans over the last few months, just talking about Southern Miss and letting Coach Hall talk about what to expect from the team this year. And we always like to wrap up that summer travel schedule here in Hattiesburg to give people an opportunity to see what the team looks like. And so FanFest is going to be a unique opportunity this year. The gates are going to open at M.M. Roberts Stadium at the South End Zone on at 8 o'clock on Saturday the 17th. People be able to come in, sit down. You can grab a snack there at the concession stands. You get to take in the practice from the south end zone or from the touchdown terrace. You get to see what the team looks like on the field. And then after it's over, the team will sign some autographs and things on the field for kids before they head back to the locker room to kind of debrief. And Coach Hall will come upstairs to the touchdown terrace where he'll kind of address the crowd and talk about what they can expect from the season, what he's seen throughout the fall camp. And then, you know, after that, they'll start getting ready to play Kentucky. So be an exciting day. We'll have Seymour there. The Southern Miss cheerleaders will be there. Just a really good day for families to come out and experience Southern Miss as we get ready for another exciting fall season.
Now, Jerry, in years past, I know that when it was indoors, sometimes it was at the convention center, things like that, they were you know, given posters and things like that for the, with the schedules on it and pictures of the guys that the kids can sign. What do they need to bring if they want players to sign things, or will they be provided an opportunity to get those there at the Rock that day?
So I would bring anything you want them to sign. We have some posters that we'll have out there for people to grab. You know, the problem with the when we had the inside events the way we did is a lot of times our program stretched a little bit long, and it really kind of became a little less kid-friendly than we want it to be. So what we've seen from this kind of structure the last few years has been a little more positive environment, a little easier for parents to bring kids and, you know, have a good experience all the way around.
And it seems like to me that with the transfer portal, and not just in football but any sport, as rosters are more fluid now every single year, that these become more important so that people can put names with numbers, faces with, you know, players and things like that, yes?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you walk in a room, you reference the old kind of model we had. You had the players lined all the way around the room and you could see who they were. But, you know, you come to a scrimmage and you see number 23 catch a pass over the middle and break a run for a touchdown. Then you kind of start watching for that guy every time he's on the field. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It gives you more to look for, more to look at, and really I think prepares you better for the season than just seeing people and talking to them kind of one-on-one outside of their environment.
Yeah, that was something I was going to emphasize, you know, that it's a scrimmage. You're not just – you're going to watch practice, but they're actively doing a scrimmage. It's almost the same thing as going to watch the spring game. So that seems like more of an incentive to get people to come and watch it, correct?
Yeah, and they're going to have several different types of drills. They'll have some scrimmage sets. You know, I don't think it's going to be, you know, as the same as the spring game. But, you know, this is their last opportunity to have a fall camp day before they start preparation for their first game. And so it'll be kind of best on best for part of it. And you'll give you a chance to really see how the team stacks up. And after, you know, the summer conditioning they've gone through, should be pretty neat to watch.
And talking to other alumni association directors across the country, Jerry, the comment they always seem to make about events like this is the sooner we can get youngsters involved with Southern Miss, you know, that they get thinking about being a Golden Eagle, whether it's in the second or third grade, that they grow up, that Southern Miss is their team. It's no secret that this is part of the strategy, yeah?
No, that's 100% accurate. Look, if I find out that a Southern Miss alum had a child, the first thing we do is send them a letter with a little onesie that's got Seymour on it. You know, we want to get people to start recognizing that Southern Miss is their school from the time they can walk. We send them coloring books. We send them, you know, little poppets. We send them things from birth to about age 16. And then we transition all that information over to the admissions department and start recruiting them as potential students. So, yes, you're absolutely right. We've got to do a better job as an institution of getting the children of our alumni to come back and experience Southern Miss so that hopefully they'll choose to come to Southern Miss like their parents did. So this is a big component of that strategy.
And I'm not saying this to be patronizing, but it just seems to me the last two or three years in particular that the alumni association that you lead has been more active and out there. You guys seem to be everywhere doing everything. I congratulate you for that. And are we seeing that benefit now? Are the numbers that you're seeing, are you happy with those numbers, and where do you want to go from here?
Well, we always want the numbers to be better. We know there are more kids that choose to go to other schools that could choose Southern Miss. So we want to see that number to continue to increase. But, yeah, we've certainly seen some improvements. We've certainly seen some increases. We expect to have a really strong freshman class this year. And the number of students that – I mean, we're kind of reaching the age now where people I went to school with have kids that are making their college decision. And so some of my friends from my time at college have kids that are getting ready to come to Southern Miss. And so we want to see more of that. But it is a huge focus because I think that people that understand the uniqueness and understand what's special about Southern Miss, people that understand, you know, kind of that grit that Dr. Paul talks about that's synonymous with who we are as an institution, I think that, you know, if we can get those kinds of students interested in Southern Miss, then the days ahead are going to be really, really bright for us.
And the final question I've got, Jerry, and you've talked about this before, but I think it's worth repeating, that to anybody that says, well, just generically, college sports, there's too much emphasis put on college sports. But look, it goes hand in hand. Success on the field does have effect on enrollment. Fill in those blanks
absolutely.
For us.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we talked about this a couple of months ago.
Right.
If you look at the academic profile of the students that attend the University of Alabama before Nick Saban got there and now, they are a different place academically. Now, there's a lot that's come into that. But winning however many national championships they won throughout that time frame has an impact. The students that choose to go there because they want to be associated with success, it helps. And so we've seen that at Southern Miss when we were successful and made it to the College World Series a few years ago. I mean, that was a positive thing for us as an institution. When we won conference USA championships, those are all positive. The publicity that you get from a successful athletic program is something that you can't buy. And so it's a tremendous asset for our university. I'm glad that we compete at the highest level and look forward to seeing how we compete this year.
All right, Jerry, our sources tell us that on the 17th you've arranged for the temperature to be like a San Diego 71-degree day. Can you confirm that on the show before we let you go?
If I had that ability, I'd have fixed a few of those things first. But, yeah, I'm sure it'll be warm. That's why it's open at 8 o'clock in the morning. But we want to get the athletes off the field as soon as we can because, as you guys know, that turf gets a little bit hotter in an already hot environment. So, yeah, I mean, South Mississippi, right? That's why we love it.
All right, August 17th, Southern Miss Fan Fair, and be at the Rock. And, Jerry, we appreciate you stepping in today and updating our listeners on this big day.
Hey, thanks for reaching out, guys. I appreciate you guys, and thanks for what you do for Southern Miss. And Southern Miss, to the top.
To the top.
Jerry DeFont, Executive Director of the Alumni Association. It's Friday, and so I want to remind you, we'll take your phone calls, questions. I think Kelly's already gotten some text to him this morning. 601-264-8910, 264-8910. If you've got a comment, question you'd like to get involved with the Eagle Hour, we're happy to have you today. Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, sedans and SUVs, well, theirs are the best on the road today. You can visit the all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And want to remind you about Mobay Beignet Company. What a great day for a beignet. What? Did you hear that? What a great day for a beignet.
You're a poet and didn't even know it.
Wow, how about that? 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Mobay Beignet. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank Patrick McGee from NOLA.com, Jerry DeFatta from the Southern Miss Alumni Association for their participation in today's program. This segment is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, right there in the shadow of the Rock, where they have great lunches Monday through Friday. Good food every day they're open. And there's always a big game on the TV. Who knows? Even the Detroit Tigers might occasionally be. No, I'm sorry. I said a big game. So you'll
Golly.
Always find the big game. When's the last time the Tigers played in a big game?
Yesterday. To us Tiger fans, every game is a big
Did
game.
Did they win yesterday?
And by the way, no, they lost to the Royals. talk about a dumb question. Did they win? But we do want to congratulate Patrick Lee of William Carey University, who is now was elevated to the Tigers AAA team in Toledo. So we've got a local kid from played at William Carey, elevated to AAA in the Tigers organization.
All right, we're going to take a little time to hear your comments. We've already gotten a couple. If you want to get on the air, you can call us at 601-264-8910, 264-8910. Let's get it going, Kelly. You got a question from a listener. Let's hear it.
Yeah, this is from somebody that goes by Little Fresh. Little Fresh wants to know, he says, an avid Eagle Hour listener here, how is Dannis Jackson of Summerall been looking in practice? And I, you know, everything that Will Hall said about his speed and quickness, I can verify that as if, I mean, you know, as if there was any doubt about it. And he's... The thing that he's been unhappy with so far is his consistency of catching passes. But he said it's like riding a bicycle. You just knock the rust off a little bit and you'll get right back to it. So I think he's going to fit and be a major player, particularly in a unit, Dima, that was a little bit suspect to begin with. I think Dannis Jackson has looked, you know, 1 through 10, I'd say he's looked about 7.8 right now once he cleans up those. But running routes, crisp routes, which is something he said is a strength of his. Where do you think he'll fit in the offensive scheme this year, Dannis Jackson?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's one of the better gets they got over this offseason. He's running with the ones in practice, so that should tell you all you need to know, that he has consistently been with the first team offense, offensive wide receiver core, and offensive line and quarterback and all that stuff. And you're right. So I'll point this listener to yesterday. The quarterbacks and wide receivers were running drills, and it was separation drills. So how can the wide receivers get free from the cornerbacks they're on? And Dannis Jackson was up against Brendan Toles, he was up against Michael Carraway Jr., he was up against all of these, you know, secondary cornerbacks who you hear a lot, they're very vital to this team's defense. A lot of the wide receivers were having real trouble getting separation from these young individuals, such as Brendan. Well, they're not young, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so Ty Mims ran, you know, his usual speed and gets open, and now it's Dannis Jackson's turn. He does a little double two-step, and the defender goes one way, he goes the other, he's down the field running at least 5 or 6 yards ahead of him, and the quarterback just drops it in the bread basket for him, and there he goes. So you're right, where his ceiling could be great, could be legendary, but right now his floor to me is a little low, and that's why I think Will's like, we have it. He has it there. He just got to bring it out.
And he's going to have a chance to be a big fish in a smaller pond.
Yes.
Here. You know, he got gobbled up in that big league with Ole Miss and yeah. Missouri. But Dannis Jackson could be a real difference maker.
And we had a chance to talk to him, and he said, Will Hall said when he spoke to him and recruited him to Southern Miss, he said, you know, he tells every transfer this, we're not going to become you. You become us. And he said, Coach, that doesn't matter. I'm already you. I want to matter.
That's good. All right, before we get on to this next question, you were at practice today?
Yeah.
Anything you need to report? I guess we kind of overlooked that.
Are we three for three
anything
on
anything you see?
We are three for three.
The puke report brought to you by Alka-Seltzer.
Not for me. I hope that listeners know. But, yeah, there are some very exciting things that happened in practice today. I can't really note on all of it, but I can leave it at that. The quarterbacks looked great. I thought it was a much cleaner practice than the first two. Obviously, the pads were on, so you could hear the little popping. They can't go full tackle right now until full pads are on, but they can hit each other, which was nice to hear. Rodemaker was out in front of all the QB drills as far as he went first in all the QB drills. Doesn't necessarily mean anything. Obviously, we're still so early, so I'm not saying that means he's the starter. But as reporters, we have to note who goes first. That's
sure.
Just the way it is. So number 11, Davis Dalton, wide receiver, was not in pads at practice today. He was kind of running on the sidelines, kind of doing some physical work in that area. We weren't able to talk to Will Hall today, so we weren't able to ask about him specifically, but we will be able to ask him tomorrow.
And Davis Dalton was wearing a red jersey earlier in the week.
He has been wearing it all week, so he hadn't been having to go through this one-on-one time with the trainer that he did today, the last 2 days. He was with his unit. So that, to me, was a little interesting. The offensive line had the best day they've had, I think, I've ever seen. You know, this is a defensive line they're facing up against. And I know we got another question, but this is a defensive line they're facing up against who has a chance to be the best in the Sun Belt. This offensive line gave the quarterbacks time to throw the ball. They gave holes to the running backs. Obviously, the defensive line isn't completely live, but that says something when you're holding off that defensive line in the way they did.
Which is the strength of the football team.
Yes.
And when you got Dreek Clark and Kenyon Clay, you know, back there, those are two pretty good horses to have, yes, you know, right out of the gate.
Clark was good last year.
Yeah.
All right, here's a two-point, really, question/comment from our listener, Barry. Coach Hall keeps talking about getting the program back to where it needs to be, and we are all on board with him in that regard. But truth be told, in today's world of college football, if you have a good year, it's just as hard or harder to have a good year the following year. Every year is brutal in the new college landscape. Dima, is that right?
Yeah, especially for a group of five teams. There's very few just consistent 9-10 win seasons for a group of five teams. And, you know, we've been talking on the show at length about the number of wins Coach Hall needs and all this stuff. But, you know, my thing is, if he goes, and I would pose this question to y'all, let's just say he goes 7-5, 6-6, a good season, and he gets to a bowl game, is he still on the hot seat for next season? That, to me, is where I think a question like this arises. What is it? And this is something that Kelly has been alluding to, that 6-6, you know, that's still 500, you know, and so would next season, would they need to see a step up from that? And I think this is where this questioner success is so driven by the perception of the team.
Well, when you have a good season, obviously players want to strike while they're hot. You can put it in layman's terms, you can put it to a free agent. If you're a free agent player, which essentially all these players are now, they have a great season, well, they're going to bank it next year, right? I had a great year, you know what I bring to the table, you know, give me some more money. But the coaches are the same way. You know, lots of times when their teams do well, they all say, okay, well, you've seen what we can do. Now I'm going to take the next, you know, big job or more money. But yeah, I think, and I put it in to your question, Dima, the athletic director, you know, you want to, that's going to be a tough call one way or the other. That I trust Jeremy McClain to make the right call one way or the other. But, you know, if they win 7 or 8, 9 games, something like, well, that's obviously, you know, goes without saying. 2 or 3 might be on the opposite end. But where you're going to have the problem if you're Jeremy is if they win 5, 6.
Right.
You know, what do you do then?
All right, 2 minutes left. Let me throw this one at you, Kelly. This is a good one for the listener, right? Truth be told, past university leadership, going back to Bill McGillis and Rodney Bennett, are the ones who set our coaches up for failure. They will never acknowledge that. But like him or not, as an example, Jay Hobson could coach, but he was working with half the budget we presently have, maybe even less. Daily operations, coaching staff, support staff, we got what we paid for.
With Jay Hobson?
Yeah. Well, he's saying that Jay Hobson, you shouldn't put all the blame on Jay Hobson.
Was hamstrung.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, well, I think the end of the Hobson era happened when he wanted to hire Art Briles. Remember the old old head coach of Baylor, who's quite an offensive whiz, and our sources told us that it came from the head down. You are not going to do that, okay? Right. And that's when Jay
he
Hobson
left shortly after.
Yeah, that's right. And I think Jay Hobson said, "If I can't get the support I need, you know, I'm going to leave."
Dima, was Jay Hobson, based on this comment from a listener, was Jay Hobson given the things that he needed to be successful?
Well, I obviously wasn't as in tune as far as looking at all of that back then. I was more of a fan. But I will say that I did think he was a good coach. He led Southern Miss to 3 or 4 great seasons. And I agree with Kelly that, you know, when they told him, you cannot hire Art Briles, it was just like, well, I mean, if they don't trust me to run this football program, why would I still be here?
I think I want to say he was in a bowl game 3 of his 4 years, maybe 2 of his 4 years.
Well, he's the only one who's won a bowl game since the 2011 championship game and Will Hall.
But to be fair to Dr. Bennett, he was not there when that one coach that we talked about earlier was hired.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Troy.
Martha Saunders was the president at that time. So,
well, that was a good move. She hired him over Todd Monken.
Well, Monken, you know.
Monken didn't prove to be much, did he?
But and the word back then was that the only reason that coach was tabbed over the other ones was that he, at the time, was going to allow Pedal standout football player Anthony Alford play both football and baseball, where Todd Monken says no, he's either going to play football or baseball. But because that other coach said he can play both, that's why he got the job.
Hey, thanks for the questions. And I thought that last comment, that was a good subject to touch on. I do think, looking back, that maybe Jay Hobson got a bit of a raw deal in the way that people perceive him now.
We have very perceptive and smart listeners, but more importantly than that, they love the university.
No question. No question. All right, we'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, thanks for the questions. We really appreciate that. Enjoy hearing from you. Don't be shy about getting on the radio now. Kelly's not going to say anything to embarrass you.
No, and if you don't want us to use your name, we won't.
But look, we're happy to take your questions. You message me or Kelly or Dima. And if you're uncomfortable being on the radio, but you got something you want to say, we're more than happy. And we're always going to protect your privacy. So please don't be concerned about
that. But if you want to show up to Kelly's house, he lives at 83.
Don't do that. The IRS already has been there several times, so if you want directions. You know.
Sheriff's department's there pretty frequently, too.
Yeah, they are.
I think there's a conspiracy going on between those two groups.
DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. It is a great place for baseball and softball training. We're lucky to have it here. It's a state-of-the-art facility. They have everything in the world in there to make your child the best baseballer. Softball player you can be. Kelly, you're old baseball coach. You think it's a good idea, don't you?
I do, especially in the fall. I think I've said this before, work on speed and agility. And the thing about DBAT, listen to this, air conditioned comfort.
yeah.
This time of year, man, it's brutal.
Town & Country Cleaners is family owned and operated since 1983, and they offer a wide variety of services like steam pressing, shirt laundry, minor alterations, and, of course, dry cleaning and bulky bedding. Most orders can be picked up on the same day you drop them off. That's pretty cool. Visit Town & Country Cleaners at their convenient location across from USM on Hardy Street, or call 601-264-4920.
I have had some members of the underworld ask if they do money laundering. They do not.
Bulky bedding. One day when we have some time, Kelly can get in a little more detail about exactly what bulky bedding is.
Please don't.
You're right, Dima. That's probably
a terrible idea.
Probably a good idea to stay away from anything or related to that with Kelly.
We'll precurse the show. Do not listen to today.
All right, Dima. You haven't banged your head on the microphone today, but do you have any news you'd like to share?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We got some good stuff. So, first and foremost, Tanner Hall, everybody knows who he is, threw an immaculate inning last night in the minors. I don't have the exact stats in front of me because there we go. Okay, so 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 strikeouts. So an immaculate inning for Tanner Hall for the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles. So there you go. That's a pretty cool nickname.
And that's the single-A team for the Twins.
Yes. And then Southern Miss product Landon Harper, who throws for the Braves
in
Jackson, has the longest active scoreless streak in the Southern League. He has 24 innings pitched over 11 games, 22 strikeouts.
Go dog.
No walks and all of that. And then the first team that Southern Miss football will take on this season, it just was breaking news just about 2 hours ago. Kentucky football is going to be vacating all of their wins in the 2021 season. They're on probation for NCAA violations involving at least 11 players who received payment for work not performed at some
wow.
hospital.
Who could
they
imagine?
They are on probation for the next two seasons. That is a NCAA Division.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Two violation.
Yeah, what they're not telling you is that Eastern Michigan is also getting 5 years for
because they're mad at Kentucky. Yes, yeah, you're right about that.
And Landon Harper's scoreless streak is impressive, but again, for the record, my scoreless streak in Hattiesburg is up to 7 years now.
No, I think that's an underestimate. I think more like 17 years.
Okay. Well, oh, yeah, there's that little one in front of that. I missed it. Yeah.
You missed that. Hey, I'm so proud of the dog.
Yeah, Landon Harper's a good one, isn't he?
He's a great kid. Kelly and I are very fond of that.
He would never make a good politician, though, because if you ask him a question, he's going to give you the answer.
He was just one of my favorite kids when he was on the team. I'm really, really happy to see him doing so.
And again,
well,
you see the major leagues when they come after a lot of Southern Miss players, where the football team, you know, was quarterback you for a while. The Southern Miss has put out some great kickers, wide receivers, linebackers. Southern Miss baseball is getting to be known as a pitching factory.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, a couple of years ago, my wife and I were at the tournament, and Tanner had just pitched. I want to say it was against James Madison. He shut him out. We're going back to the hotel, and we happened to get in the elevator with three kids that were playing for Georgia Southern, actually. And, of course, we got on our USM stuff, and, man, they started up. Man, we just watched Tanner Hall pitch. Man, he can pitch, and the other one goes, I'm just glad he's done for the tournament. I don't want to face Tanner Hall. He was dynamic in college, but he's beginning to kind of find his way a little bit, isn't he?
Yeah, no doubt. Immaculate inning is crazy, no matter what level you were on, especially, I mean, in the minors. I mean, that's just insane.
All right, should we pick on Dima's age here, Bob, and talk about the immaculate reception?
Yes, you know about that?
I don't know what that is.
In the National Football League? It was a play known as the immaculate reception.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Terry Bradshaw to Franco Harris. How did it happen, Kelly?
Well, it wasn't supposed to go to Franco Harris, right? The ball was deflected, and it was in a Super Bowl game, right? And the Steelers kind of began their reign there, and the ball was badly underthrown as the Cowboys kind of tipped it around two or three times, and it wound up in the hands of Franco Harris, who proceeded to take it to the house.
And win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
It was crazy.
And it was then dubbed the Immaculate Reception.
Right. It's similar to that Auburn play and when they beat Georgia and Jordan Hare. They called it the Miracle of Jordan Hare. Then the week after that was the kick six.
Yeah. So.
Was that game two where the announcer said, Auburn's going to win the football game. Yeah. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Yeah. I still remember that. That was insane.
Yeah.
Another good week on the Eagle Hour. Thanks to our listeners and our great guests, and we appreciate it very much. We'll all be back Monday. We hope you have a safe and happy weekend. Until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.